does a theme study inside and outside the Bible look like? Thank you for joining us at the Handing It to Jesus podcast. My name is Craig Faust. I'm here with Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Craig.
And today we're actually going to go through a little bit of an example of what a theme study would look like with Matt and the struggle that he's handing over to Jesus. Mm. And we're going to talk a little bit about using outside resources outside the Bible and the concept of using these outside resources to help gather information, but in submission to the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's start with just talking a little bit about this theme study for you and just the struggle that you've been handing over to Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you guys know, last episode we were talking a little bit more about a theme study of Craig's struggle and how we can apply Scripture to where he struggles the most in his life, to let go of something, to find intimacy and closeness with Jesus. For me, I've shared before, but I'll remind everybody listening, that I tend to get really distracted with the world, with entertainment, with fun, with stories and games, because it's far easier to deal with the stress and anxieties of life whenever I don't have to think about all of the stresses and anxieties of life. And I'm sure a lot of people out there can relate. And this is, I think, maybe the curse of our current culture, too, since it is so readily available, more than it's ever been. You know, I think before these little rectangles in our pocket, it was still a temptation. You know, we would lose ourselves in books or newspapers or work or whatever, that we would distract ourselves from actually thinking about the really important things of life,
right?
Or relationships, or how to love and serve and provide for our family and friends. And it's still easy to do today. We just have more access to it, right? And so I tend to lose myself in a good book. I tend to lose myself in a good TV show or movie, in a video game. I tend to lose myself in social media and reels. Mm-hmm. Not that I love to post anything. I really don't care about that. But man, is it easy to doom scroll.
Yeah, those people that follow us on Instagram know that you and I are not the best at posting.
I'm trying, guys. I struggle with it. But yeah, it's just really easy to consume. And what I've noticed also is that a part of my desire to do that is, well, one, I'm really afraid to engage with the world because I think less of myself. I shame myself to this point where I don't think I'm strong enough, capable enough, wise enough, I'm good enough that I would fail at it, and that whenever I do try to engage with the hard things of the world, with accomplishing things at the house, doing a project, figuring out a way to make a little bit more money to provide for the family and buy groceries, that I'm just going to prove to myself that I can't do it.
Right.
And when I fail, even if I succeed a little bit, but I don't succeed to the point of my expectation, it's just going to be a confirmation for me that, yeah, see, Matt, you really don't have what it takes. You really do suck. And why try at all, right? That's what shame, right, I think, tells us.
Is why to think risk black it? And why risk that?
Black and white. Right, exactly.
Message again.
Yeah. So it's just easier. I don't even notice that I'm doing it most of the time. And if I'm not careful, what that shame message can tell me also is that I really am lazy and I'm worthless. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, why risk it? Right. And so there's a parable that I'm either tempted to read and feel more shame. It's still true, or I'm tempted to read and feel conviction, and that I can and should and need to do something more.
Right.
And so this is inside the Bible. Like when we get into more of our counseling theories, like there's more to unpack and discover and learn. But first, in part of a theme study, we want to pull some truth of what Scripture does tell us about, you know, in my case, losing ourselves with distraction, living in that fear, not using the gifts, the talents that God has given you,
right,
to multiply, to invest, to create production, and be wise with what you've been giving. Yeah. So,
well, and we, before we started recording, we started looking up these different verses, and so there is this list that we were able to come up with, and the question that we had is, all right, Matt, which one of these kind of hits you the most right now, right? Mm-hmm. Which one feels like it's the biggest impact, and let's talk and meditate on that part, which is what we want to do in the theme study, right? So this is one that we selected out of a list with this particular struggle, which is what we're asking when we're doing this theme study inside the Bible.
Yeah. And, you know, there were other helpful scripture verses out of the context of a story that I think do speak to my struggle. But sometimes it's more helpful for me to find a like, for instance, in this case, a parable that Jesus is teaching, because I have more to work with in that moment.
Right.
It would also be totally appropriate for me to meditate on one verse of scripture, if I wanted to do that for a week or for just a day, you know. Romans 12, 1 through 2 was another helpful verse that I found that I could have talked more about today in this theme study, but I just chose to focus on a different one, you know, and that's fine to switch it up and do, you know, maybe 20 different theme studies that you can find within scripture, and then later we'll talk about all of the things outside of scripture too.
Right.
But yeah, Romans 12, 1 through 2 was helpful. There's a passage in Matthew 6 that was helpful about whatever you do, whether you eat and drink, do it all for the glory of God. And so like an encouragement for me to actually engage with the world and to do it with the mindset of I am bringing glory to the Lord as I do these things. And so there's different verses that one can encourage me to good things and other verses that can warn me of the consequences if I don't, right? And so you're going to find all of that out there in Scripture and outside of Scripture too.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about this parable that kind of struck you the most, and we'll meditate on it a little bit.
This is in Matthew 25, and this is the parable of the talents. So verses 14 through 30. I will go ahead and read that for you all right now. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the end of that really is terrifying to me.
Yeah, so I think that one of the things you and I were talking about before we hit the record button is that this parable, like most Jesus parable, is multifaceted.
Yeah.
And as you're reading this, it will hit you differently than it may hit each one of us. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's just the word of God at work. And
that's right.
So,
and I know that in context as I read that, because for the chapters before this, Jesus is giving a lot of different types of teachings. We're just reading a lot of his teachings all packed together here. And I think the easiest interpretation of this parable is, what have you done and what will you do with the message or the good news of Jesus mm-hmm. and his gift of salvation? And that for those who do nothing with that gift of salvation, and essentially who are rejecting this gift of salvation, that there's that consequence of being thrown into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? Yeah. And so I know my salvation is secure. I know who I am in Christ. And I know that I will spend eternity in glory with the Lord because I have done something with that message of the gospel. I have a relationship with the Lord. I've committed my life to him. He's my Lord and my Savior, right? And so this passage doesn't, in its, I think, easiest and obvious interpretation, mm-hmm. it doesn't, I don't read into it that piece, right? Yeah,
like you don't fear eternal separation from God.
No, I do not fear that at all. I am confident in my salvation, because not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross.
Yeah. So what part hits you when you read this about the struggle that you're
like I explained before, that struggle and that fear that I have, I think of the potential for failure in this world, right? Mm-hmm. And that as God looks at me and how I kind of choose to not engage and waste time, mm-hmm. that he would be angry at me, that he would be disappointed in me, and that I should have a reason to think less of myself, actually.
Yeah.
That must be what God thinks of me, the way that this servant or that this master viewed this servant in this context. And I know that, there's a disconnect there, because the context of this is in regards to what have you done with the message of, you know, my son Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not where I'm at. But man, I'm still tempted as I read other scripture, as I think about
in some way.
Culture, you know.
Right, like if you're wondering, like, if I didn't spend as much time doing these other things.
If I could accomplish more.
Yeah. Would I spread God's word more?
Sure.
Would I be able to bring it to people more or give light to it?
Right.
And, you know, I think that in regards to even just like watching you as I'm kind of like looking at your face as you're going through this, like there is that pain there that, has God called me to be that 5-talent person? And that's my ability, but I'm not actually.
Am I wasting my ability? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I absolutely feel that. And what hit too was whenever the master called that servant, basically into the joy of his master and said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Mm-hmm. And man, I long to hear those words, that I did a good job. Well done, my good and my faithful servant.
Yeah.
And outside of, you know, a relationship with Jesus and taking seriously my salvation and God's work on my behalf, I think where I often think differently about how God thinks of me and what I fear is that he doesn't think that I'm good and he doesn't think that I'm faithful. And if he doesn't think that, I certainly don't think that about myself. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm good. I do not think that I'm faithful. I think that's where, tears are coming to my eyes now as I say that, guys. That's where a lot of that root pain is.
Yeah, that struggle that you have that you're wanting to hand over to Jesus is that I don't feel like those words, I want to hear those words, but when that struggle is really caught up within you, Matt, it doesn't feel like those are the words you're going to hear.
No.
you're going to hear those other words.
Yeah, you wicked and slothful servant. And so, yeah, why wouldn't I choose in those moments to just accept my fate and lose myself in fantasy worlds? And what shame might also do is I'll either do that or I'll work my butt off to prove that I'm a good and faithful servant, when really that's not necessarily what this parable is teaching either. The message of the gospel is that I don't work and obey to get God's love. I already have his love. I already have his gift of salvation. And out of the abundance of my thankfulness, I obey because I already have the gift. And that's what I need to continue to remember and apply to my life, so that I'm not living in a black and white place with I have to do X, Y, and Z in order to get his love, or I can't do anything because I don't have his love. That no, I live more in this gray area of actually what a gospel message is that I've been called to use my talents and abilities well. And there's going to be moments where I falter, and there's grace for that because Christ paid the penalty for me on the cross, and I'm still encouraged to get up and engage. Now, there's a difference between escape and distraction. There's a difference between escape and rest. And I don't want to shame myself for doing things that are truly restful, because that's largely a place of how I do rest. I love
stories. They enter into the joy of your master. You get the sense that there's going to be rest.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a certain amount of, like, honor there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you do me a favor real quick? Could you read for me the first part of that, the five talents? Can you read about that one again?
To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more.
And then, so I just want to point out here, he traded and he made five talents more. As I was hearing you say that, there's something that jumped out at me. It didn't necessarily allude to that servant working harder.
No, because the one who had two, he went and traded with them too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that he worked less.
Right.
We get some reference to their ability, but really we don't quite know what that ability was.
Yeah, the only one that kind of seems to allude to is, you know, the last one that didn't really put in any effort.
And the point of the parable really is about this last servant.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's really important in just some regards. As I was hearing you talk about this, there's this part of me that's like, it isn't about how hard you work, kind of alluding to what you're saying before, right? That that natural reaction that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I just work harder,
that I have to do so much, right?
But it wasn't really about that for those people, right? It didn't say they had worked 80 hours a week for
CEO level stuff, right?
And that may be more like the monetary part of me and my own struggle that comes up. But as
I'm influenced by my own culture too, right? Yeah. Like, I recognize that people who have great success are the people who work their butts off and who give all of their identity and time and energy towards a career, a job, a project, skills, whatever, and that there's a fruit to their labor. There's something tangible there, right? And so I'm perhaps influenced by my culture and convinced that, yeah, I have to do the same thing in order to be seen as this good and faithful servant.
And it was giving to them according to their ability, according to what God has seen that they can do. I think it's important.
Yeah.
Right? As I'm kind of thinking about the struggle and I'm meditating, it's hard for me to try to disconnect my own struggle from this parable.
What?
And I think that, one, this is a good parable. It kind of makes sense that it stuck out to you. I know that we were kind of debating between two, and this one was a little bit louder. because of those messages that you long to hear. And I think that meditation is good because then it reveals something there that it's hard to accept that God would say that about you. And that doesn't say as much. That says more about your own view of God.
Mm-hmm.
It says more about your own view or role of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even, this is me reading into it. I'm meditating as if I am you.
Yeah, right? No, that's helpful.
It becomes...
This is why this is good to do with another person.
Mm-hmm. It becomes, for me, right, if I sit in your seat, then it becomes, all right, I need to work harder. Then it becomes more about my ability.
Right.
Not that God has given me as much in accordance to my ability. Mm-hmm. Right. God has made that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying really hard and working really hard because in my own power,
right,
I'm trying to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, again, another limiting view
yeah.
on God that,
yeah, it is.
That God is not providing for me. So I, or God has provided, and I somehow have to muster up the strength,
mm-hmm.
which is mm-hmm. then causing a block for me to turn
totally.
To God in that moment.
Totally.
To like recognize, right, there's that gap there that I want to turn to God in these moments, turn to Him, and recognize that right now I know that maybe I do have more ability or I have more that I can do here,
mm-hmm.
and I'm feeling like I need rest in something that's not you.
Yeah.
And I need to know that you'll help me here.
Mm-hmm.
Give me strength right now to be able to turn to you, to be able to feel, be filled by you right now, to not seek this other thing, but seek you, and being able to try to lean into that tension. Like I said, that's kind of like more of my own internal tension of trying to put myself in your shoes. And like I said, mm-hmm. it's kind of a mixture of my own,
well, sure.
my own thing there. And whew,
yeah,
it's a powerful thing when we look at these parables and how they land on us.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's helpful to hear your spin, your take on it. I think that I too am tempted to think that that the harder I work, the more I will earn.
Yeah.
I mean, how can not any of us kind of buy into that a little bit whenever we are living in the world, right? And we see some evidence, at least, of that in our world. But that's not how God describes it.
Yeah.
And I think where I get tripped up too is that he took from the wicked an evil servant and gave to the one who had the five talents, and that he gave him abundance. And so that means that I will have that if I'm having scarcity and others are having abundance, I make this quick and easy connection that is not based on truth, actually. That I must be foolish, slothful, lazy, wicked, evil, fill in the blank, you know?
Yeah.
And what you look for, you find. Like, at this stage in life, with young kids and not being able to work as often because I have time where I'm with my children more, I'm sacrificing so that
right.
money so that I can be with my children more and take care of them. I'm going to have scarcity. If I look for it, I'm absolutely going to have it. If you have $1 million, you can also, if you go looking for where you have scarcity in your life, I think you'll still find it.
Yeah.
You always find what you're looking for. So when I see that scarcity in my life, I think it triggers this fear or this false reality for me that it's because I'm not a good and faithful servant. I haven't done enough. And that's why God hasn't blessed me and given me abundance in this area, you know,
yeah.
Which really I do not think is true. Now, there are some moments where it's maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy for me where if I truly have not engaged, sat in my anxious corner of the couch, just consuming, where I'm going to feel some scarcity in my life as things don't get done around the house and I'm sitting with a huge list of things to get done that make me feel like it's impossible to do any of them, you know? Yeah. Well, maybe some of that is because I have not actually taken action and done what I'm called to do to provide and take care of my household.
Yeah. What I love about that is God will convict us there.
Yeah, and I need the conviction. I don't need the shame. The conviction actually leads me to repentance,
right,
which is life, which is connection and relationship. The shame makes me want to continue to run to the very thing that I'm using to make me feel good in the first place. Yeah,
makes you want to pull a Jonah, huh?
Oh, yeah, run away. Uh-huh.
Well, the thing is that for some people, shame converts to, I feel terrible. All right, now I need to do what I want to. But for some of us, that isn't the case. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're kind of one of those that whenever you feel shame, now I want to hide from God, right?
And Adam I shut and down. Eve and, I shut down and hide. Yes, right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is important. So I appreciate us just having the opportunity. I appreciate you sharing this. That way we kind of get to have an idea of a little bit what meditation looks like. And then yeah. Matt and I could spend quite a bit longer being able to talk about this, different facets of this.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's why you just have an idea of what wrestling with this looks like, what we're asking for in this theme study. And this inside the Bible, right? We just ask that you list out these different things. You think of like a frequency that you want to do, right? We would recommend fairly frequently, if not every day, if a couple times a week, that you would dedicate some time to looking at these resources in the Word. It's always going to be good the more you do it, right? The more and more that you are kind of really allowing yourself to soak in the Word of God, to wrestle mm-hmm. with these hard things, because you're really retraining your body and mind in these moments of faltering to turn towards God. And that's really what we're trying to do. And there's no better help with that than really allowing ourselves to soak in the Word of God. Yeah. Now, the other part of this question that is to talk a little bit about the outside the Bible.
And yeah.
I think that the first thing we want to say is that the Bible is truth. There is truth that we can find outside the Bible as well.
That's right.
But we have to make sure it aligns with what the Bible says.
If it doesn't align, it's probably not true. Yeah. Or at least
partially true.
Yeah, then it's a gray zone of truth and lies, which is harder to suss out.
Yeah,
right?
So what I would say is that if it's hard for you to discern, or you don't want to ask people that are maybe more familiar with the Bible, or you don't want to go through that legwork, go ahead and skip this part outside the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think it's important as far as like me being a person that likes to understand how things work. And Matt and I have talked about this quite a bit, that a lot of the modern day discoveries are things that Scripture has already talked about being important, or especially like us being in the field of counseling and psychology, that a lot of the things that we discover are already things that Scripture calls us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But finding out different things, you know, I'm always surprised whenever I talk to people about addiction and whenever they can read some of the literature on addiction or understand it a little bit. That understanding helps them in so many more ways to help have compassion,
mm-hmm.
to help pivot them in a position of forgiveness, to help soften their hearts towards yeah. others. So when we talk about looking at outside resources, this can be most anything that you might consume content-wise or reading or anything like that. But again, always making sure that it is a submission to the Word.
Right?
So if you find out something that's interesting, right? So like if I'm looking and I'm like, hey, I'm looking at a type A person. They worked 80 hours a week and they made $1 billion doing this. Okay. Let me look at what the Word of God says about spending that mm-hmm. much time working. Let me look at the cultural context that these were in. Let me try to
that's
understand
right.
this. Rest seems to be pretty important. And the idea of being able to have not a work-life balance, which is kind of like a modern thing, but you know, there is aspects of this that are in the Bible about
that's
right. making sure that you are relying on God for the resources that you have, that it is all God's, that you mm-hmm. don't have to work your way into heaven, that you don't have to work your way into God's graces, that
yeah.
our attention and our efforts can be spent in other ways.
Yeah.
So I may find it truth, right, some truth in that, that working 80 hours a week can make $1 billion, and that working really hard can yield to wonderful things, right?
Can.
Working really hard at my relationship with God will lead to
exactly
life. So I can, you know, there is a hint or a modicum of truth in that. By the way, I just made this up. The working 80 hours gets you $1 billion, right? So I'm just making this up, right? So if I read an article that tells me that, there may be a modicum of truth in that, that working really hard at something. And the modicum of truth may be that if I'm spending a lot of time pursuing God's word, that is going to bring life to my, to me, to possibly people around me. That could be the modicum of truth, but all the other things that could be attached to it might not be truth. So we have to really have good discernment here and always take information that we're getting from the world and compare it to what it is that we're hearing in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is not a comprehensive thing that speaks to every single thing. Right? I always love it whenever...
You know, it's all true, but it doesn't hold all the truth.
Yeah, I mean, we would have so much larger, text. Mm-hmm. What the thing is the Word of God is to teach us how and why it's important to turn to God for discernment and to start us on the path towards truth.
That's right.
Right? And that, like, this scripture is true, turning to God is true, this relationship's important, and human beings have repeatedly been relying on themselves, and there's been times where they've been relying on God, but usually, right, they turn to their own understanding. So the outside the Bible is helpful as far as gathering information and understanding. We want to use that in conjunction with 100%. What we're learning with the Bible. So
And those things outside the Bible can be Bible adjacent.
Yes.
Like, we're talking commentaries, Bible dictionaries, theology books.
This podcast.
It can be a lot of different things like that. And I find that to be helpful to pair with my theme studies if I'm really wanting to understand, or especially if I'm confused about how do I interpret this? How do I read this in context? How do I understand what was going on in Israeli culture at this time?
Yeah. Is there a scholar commentary on this?
100%, yeah. That's actually going to aid you a lot in being able to read all of the Bible and not just theme studies around your particular struggle. And I think you will grow and find life from reading about the works of godly men and women who have come before you and have had insight and revelation into Scripture.
Right.
And then there are other sources that are not as Bible adjacent, but still true, and it can point us back to the gospel and the struggle that we have, because all truth is God's truth. And so sometimes reading case studies of evidence-based approaches in the counseling field, I find to be super helpful to apply those methods to my own life, to learn how to grieve something that is tremendously difficult and set boundaries in certain relationships and understand the inner workings of different parts that I might have within myself, for instance, you know, all which are kind of counseling models or can be counseling models. And then there's, you know, financial truth out there that I'm sure would be helpful for you, Craig, like as you look at, like, well, what is fiscal wisdom, right? And that's would be more than appropriate to apply to your life.
Yeah, like as long as it's in conjunction. Dave Ramsey, right?
Yeah.
Now, as long as those resources are submitted to the Bible.
100%.
Right? It's always secondary.
Always secondary.
I would say the other thing that I would say about outside the Bible, we want to have really good discernment around, does this point me towards God?
Mm-hmm.
Does it make me want to move closer to God, or does this make me want to move closer to what's going on in the world?
Or just relying on myself, my own understanding. Right?
So, for example, you guys have heard me say how much I enjoy ChatGPT, especially in helping me with finding Bible verses or different things like that, or theme studies. That being said, that is most certainly an outside the Bible resource and could easily lead me to asking ChatGPT for very important, you know, biblical related things, or asking ChatGPT to use the Bible to help reflect truth in me. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a bad strategy, but is that having me point towards God? Is that having me point towards prayer? So if I'm going through a struggle and the first thing that I go is, hey, I want to ask ChatGPT what the Bible says about that. Okay. Is that, do I do something in that interaction to connect with God?
Right.
And so for me, connecting with God, whenever I'm reading the word, there is a certain connection, but I always feel closer to God whenever I'm praying. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that any outside the Bible resource that I'm using is helping me move closer to God in some way. If it's not helping me move closer to God, okay, then I may not be at the place in the struggle where it's okay to use that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not pivoting from there to prayer. I'm not pivoting from there to acknowledging God or to praise or, you know, worship, anything like that. I'm not actually doing anything to help restore that relationship that's breached by the struggle.
Yeah, that's right. I would also encourage you, like Will, with ChatGPT and any outside the Bible resource, to fact check it. Mm-hmm. Not only allow it to point you to the Lord, make sure it's doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes AI, it might pull from other sources that they think is Bible adjacent, but maybe it's not going to tell you something that's true, and we have to be wary of that with AI, right? Mm-hmm. So go fact check it, some evidence-based approach. I should fact check, like, hey, is this actually what Scripture encourages me to do?
So there's a really funny thing, a quick story I want to tell about this. So at our guy's Bible study, we were talking about some food. It was some food that was not around here, right? But it was common in another area, like maybe California or something. And it sounded totally disgusting to me. And what I had said is that I think that you liking this is a sin. I was joking, right? But not actually a funny thing to joke about now that I'm saying it out loud. Anyway, so what I had done after we left that, I asked ChatGPT, where in the Bible would it allude to this being sinful behavior to have this mixture of food? And it pulled out some scripture, and it ChatGPT even admitted, like, this is very loosely, and people have done this before, but there's a lot more evidence that says that this has nothing to do with it. Okay. But it still gave me a scriptural reference.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, in our like little group chat, I uploaded this and I was like, ha, fun with ChatGPT and different things. And the thing was, it was a funny thing because, you know, I could be like, I could see that like this doesn't make any sense. But let's say that I was really invested in winning that conversation. Mm-hmm. And then I started to use scripture as a spear.
Yep.
To like attack something that I didn't approve of.
Yeah.
So it's very easy for us to
it's the equivalent
be able to
of,
like
there being 100 sources saying that no, you're okay, this is fine, there's no evidence of this, and then finding the one article or source that says this is horrible for you, don't do this, and saying see, this is truth, this is valid what I'm saying.
So we always want to take the things that we find, take it in prayer, make sure it's leading you to connection, make sure it's leading you to developing right relationships. Right, make sure it's aligning, right? So there is wonderful things with the outside the Bible resources. There's also awareness that we have to have.
Yeah, you have to be on guard.
Yep.
And sometimes it's not enough to just use your own wisdom to be on guard. And that's where we want to maybe encourage you guys with our next episode and this next part of this workbook is to invest in relationships. Mm-hmm. And to kind of use relationships as a backboard, a sounding board for, am I thinking the right way? Am I on the right track? Or am I way off base with how I'm thinking about what I'm struggling with? And not only what you're struggling with, guys, but like just for the sake of relationship and connection. So we'll be talking more about that in the future.
Yeah.
And I will say also in our workbook here, we lay out a couple structural steps for you as you approach theme studies. Things that can be helpful, kind of milestones that you can hit to create a little routine around the way that you engage with scripture and outside resources. You can find that in the workbook, but some of these steps look like taking time to read from the Bible about the struggle at least once a week. Taking time to supplement resources outside the Bible, and it can be talking about the Bible at least once a week. Giving yourself time to think about this struggle outside of prayer and study, so meditating essentially, at least once a week. Mm-hmm. And allowing time for these three steps at least half an hour each week. And so mm-hmm. kind of creating for yourself moments where you're going to say, I'm going to go do this thing on this day at this time. This will be the time that I do
right.
X. This will be the time I do Y. This will be the time that I do Z. Mm-hmm. And to create that discipline for yourself or this expectation for yourself. And don't shame yourself if you can't follow through, if you forget, or if you find that there's a lot of resistance in engaging. Allow yourself time for that next moment that you've set for yourself to engage,
yeah.
to move toward that.
I would say if there are moments where you feel like you can't engage in that, at least allow yourself to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Doesn't have to be a long That's prayer. Right. Just be like, you know, hey God, I had meant to do this, and I want to do this. I just can't get in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get my mind straight. Can you help me right now, just in this moment of turmoil? Help me to feel you here. You know, help me to yeah. still be connected to you, even just in this way.
Absolutely. Amen to that.
Yeah.
And don't feel like maybe that next scheduled time that you have to make up for that other time that you missed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how a relationship works, guys. We don't play spiritual catch-up with God just as much as we really don't play catch-up with a friend. If we miss months of talking with them, you know, talking for 5 hours that next time doesn't necessarily draw us to that same level of closeness if we had chatted for 5 minutes every day.
Yeah.
And so it's about consistency that gives us the closest relationship and understanding of God's truth and intimacy with Him. And if you miss it, you're still loved by the Lord. You're still known by Him. You're still a son and daughter of the Most High King. Nothing changes about who you are.
Yeah.
But don't put that pressure on yourself like you have to do more in order to be okay in His eyes. That's not how it works either. And I need to remember that, obviously, too.
Right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope that you found it helpful, and I know it's just helpful for us just to be able to talk through some of this stuff and the intention that we've had behind the workbook. So until next time, just know that we love you very much, that God loves you very much. And
yeah.
Until next time, take care.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that I want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that, like, little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.